Here we go with episode number 100.
Woo!
1F18. Sweet Seymour Skinner's Badass Song. First broadcast, April 28th, 1994. My name is Matt Groening.
Dave Merkin, executive producer, showrunner.
David Silverman, supervising director.
Josh Weinstein, one of the writers.
Bill Oakley, the other writer.
And Bob Anderson, director.
That, by the way, was an idea I had because I hated the Fox bug very, very much. It's still there to this day. It's on every network this day. So we had Homer rip it off and jump all over it. And I was only disappointed he didn't also spit on it. We don't like bugs. And now they put multiple bugs. Sometimes it'll say one thing, you know, on one side and another thing on another side if it's a digital channel. And then they put the promos underneath, which this year, what year is this? We actually did a show this year, and I had mentioned it to Jim Brooks. He said, let's do that right away, where we have one of those live promos, and right. Homer picks the guys up and eats them.
Right.
Yeah, we don't like promos coming on the show.
That's why you buy these DVDs, so you don't have them.
Yeah.
Uh-oh, what if they put them in after we've done this?
You're right. I'd just like to mention
that. If you see promos on this DVD on the bottom of the screen...
Yeah, you shouldn't.
You shouldn't.
But I should mention that there are four other Simpsons sets available at your store. If this is the only one you have, make sure to go out and get the other one.
Yes, and check, and get back to us.
Yes.
By the way, the home movies, it's a great opening idea, and I thought it really well done, Bob. I just think they're neat. Was there any backstory about having that opening?
Clearly that's a reference to the Wonder Years, which is now lost to the time. You know, you probably never heard of that if you're watching these on DVD.
I wonder what.
It was a TV show that was very popular in the 80s.
And incredibly well done. Bill and Josh came up with that idea. It looked great, and I love that song.
I find
and
it very
Bob
moving, actually, that
huh?
part.
Sweet.
Yeah.
It is really sweet. And then Bob did a great job emulating that Wonder Years style, which is real hard in animation to do that kind of shaky camera and all that, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. Oh, there you go. Now the plot thickens.
The ingredients were fresh pureed tomatoes, water, salt, and sodium benzoate used to retard spoilage.
Now, should we talk about how this came to be the 100th episode?
Sure. This is a very big milestone, by the way, in sitcoms and television shows, because 100 episodes means that you can finally make a profit on the show. So all the money men get very excited at 100. They start rubbing their hands together and picturing piles of gold. So it's always a big
and
celebration.
Like you're talking.
They talk exactly like
I. Also, how did it come about? Why this one?
Well, we needed something that had to do with Bart, probably, and this was in the hopper around that time. Actually, most of the episode is about Skinner, always one of our favorite characters, but it was Bart-centric, and it is Bart's biggest prank ever, at least up to that point, I guess.
And it's probably one of the best studies of Bart and Skinner's relationship. It's really lovely, well-done study of that relationship, very sweet and very funny. And because we did choose, and we figured it was a good idea to choose a Bart-centric episode as the 100th episode, then Fox was going to do a lot of big promotion about it. So the way they promoted this, and it became a joke that has lasted to this day with us, is they promoted it as Bart's greatest prank ever. His biggest, most incredible prank, because it gets the Skinner fired. But the truth is that Bart didn't try to get Skinner fired. He was not doing a prank at all.
It was an accident.
To deal with
bad about
really.
It.
What?
And he feels bad about it.
And he feels bad about it. But for promotional purposes, so every time we now do a Bart prank or anything happens, we go, it's Bart's biggest prank ever. They have to be bigger and better than the
last. This is more Bart's biggest pseudo-mistake.
Innocent mistake.
Bart's most thoughtful connection with an authority figure ever. That was the promo that they didn't do.
I have to say that the animation is there's a lot of parts of this that don't have
great.
A lot of talking, and this is really where the animators shine, and also our sound effects editors and creators and mixers just do an amazing job, I think, with the sound of the dog in the vents.
And was this a Frank Welker performance, too?
I do believe. We'll have to absolutely check.
For a long time, he was the voice of Santa's Little Helper. He's expert at all sorts of animal sounds.
You always call Frank in any cartoon or even a live-action situation where you need to have animal noises that are very controlled and brilliant. Frank Welker is the man.
Weinstein?
I got it slipped in there.
That's an amazing inside.
That's Weinstein. I'm Weinstein.
Yeah, there was no connection at all, right?
Children, this is Principal Skinner. Remain calm. There is a dog.
Now, how many times have we had Willie crawl through the vents after this? It was so successful.
This was the first time, yes.
And him getting greased up.
Getting greased up.
And by the way, that was Lunch Lady Doris Grau, the great Doris Grau, script supervisor, and...
And greatest voice in the world.
Yep.
Yeah.
Just a perfect, perfect voice. And great readings every time. Just fall down funny.
I cannot fit no event. You croquet and playing mint muncher.
You'd be surprised at how long it takes to come up with those Groundskeeper Willie things, and they're never all that hilarious. Like the itchy and scratchy titles as well take forever.
Our favorite thing is to take an enormous amount of time to come up with something that isn't that funny. You know, it's like the amount of time
we spend most of our career doing that
always pay off in terms of laugh. There are some very disturbing angles here, so the young people might want to
very
turn
very
away.
Graphic, Bob. Nice job.
And I need to hear the grease sound. Yes, this
that was great.
Yeah, great. Bill and Josh wrote this. As a tribute to Alien, and very, very well written and very well executed.
Alien is a successful movie franchise from the 80s and 90s.
For 1979, actually.
And it's really Alien 2, is it not, that this is the James Cameron Alien?
I think so.
Yeah.
Look!
I love this, too. You guys wrote that joke. So that the kids just get excited and they just start throwing books to make things worse. Back to your rooms.
This is also, it's the whole thing is just like a dog comes to school and what kind of mayhem that would cause. It's so, I think it's well observed.
It's very, very well observed. And I love that Skinner gets hiccups, that we actually see how bad Skinner is under pressure.
Agreed.
I love this.
This is great.
That's beautifully animated.
Very good. Very good at dog walks.
There's nary an animal alive that can outrun a grease Scotsman. No, out we go.
This is a nice shot here. See how high up they are.
That's nice work, boys.
Let's talk a little bit about Superintendent Chalmers since he comes in just a few moments. There he is.
Superintendent Chalmers!
Superintendent Chalmers is Principal Skinner's boss. And is pretty much humorless, and the only thing he ever does is call Skinner on all Skinner's BS. Something that I think I personally became obsessed with. I wrote that 22 short films thing about the two of them. I also had Superintendent Chalmers on my Simpsons bowling shirt, and I have a Superintendent Chalmers doll.
So is he your favorite character?
He's my favorite character.
All right, he is your favorite character. And actually, the thing that works here, and you know what The Simpsons does, is this is a very cliched relationship, but we go beyond the cliche, and it just becomes just so funny, because the idea of the boss always going Skinner, you know, it's just the greatest oldest thing, but it just is hilarious, and it's so well played when we watch the actors do this. It's Hank. Is Chalmers and Harry is Skinner, and to watch the two of them do this thing back and forth, they're just brilliant at it.
In fact, many of the best Skinner and Chalmers moments were improvised by the two of them when they were just kind of going berserk with
that. That is true. We should cut that out so it doesn't sound like we do nothing.
I like the little hiccups, by the way, Bob. I think you animated those, didn't you?
Yes,
very, very, very nice subtle. Bit.
Bob is the go-to man for hiccups.
Absolutely.
I love that spider joke.
Yeah. That's a disturbing thing that actually happened to my son a couple of years ago, and then it wasn't so funny.
Is that
he
right?
Said,
this is after
my
you wrote
head
it.
Hurts, and he had a little tick in his neck. Yeah, I predicted it.
I have a fear sometimes that everything we write eventually happens to us. I actually have had that experience that I'll be writing something, and my life will start to, you know, really start to resemble what it is that I was writing, and so I start to get nervous. So if you'll notice, things I write now, nothing happens to anyone except good, and lots of money comes their way, and free cars and stuff.
So here's the first appearance of Leopold.
He's even angrier and meaner than Chalmers.
This is a really hilarious setup.
I like the way Bobby always is animated with his teeth clenched all the time.
Has he appeared at all in recent years? Or I think he might have only appeared in this season. It was both Leopold, the one-eyebrow baby, and Luigi appeared in those episodes because we were writing them back-to-back and didn't want to come up with any new jokes. Chairman of the PTA, I
am D. Diddley Light. Who does, David, did you design that character?
Did I design the character?
Leopold?
It looks a little like...
Don't remember.
It looks a little like me. But no, I don't think I did.
He looks like a nice version of David, just so you guys can picture like a friendly version of David Silverman.
Well, yeah, he's one of the few characters on the show that has eyebrows.
Yeah, that's true. I have eyebrows, so, you know. There's a thing.
I'd break the ice if we had a little Q&A.
Dude, ask a question or we'll have to go back to class.
Now, I have to say, when I saw the character of Luigi, I went to the, not the table read, but the read on Monday that we would do on the day of the record. There would be another read-through with all the actors. And I was scammed ahead in the script and saw Luigi's lines, and I just about lost it before even Hank was doing the lines. And I think I frightened Julie Kavner because I was laughing to myself, but trying to keep the laughter in because it was just so damn funny.
Well, this, as I said, is the first appearance of Leopold, Luigi, and the One-Eyed Baby, all in this episode, all characters who only service one joke, and that's all they ever do.
Repeatedly and well.
Right.
But they're good jokes, damn it. I like this, that Bart makes a complete mess, and Apu doesn't really seem to care that much about it. He's a little annoyed, but he doesn't seem to make any move to clean it up.
But he's infuriated by Skinner's idea for a novel.
I love the dissolve in the middle of his
that's
rant
very well
about
directed.
How he stole the idea.
Now, a lot of Principal Skinner's behavior is based on teachers that Bill and I had when we were in high school. We're all sort of sad, lonely guys who lived at their
we
mothers.
Won't say their names, but the school, actually about 70% of all the teachers in the school were like that. And it was so weird. When you saw them without a tie, it seemed like they had gone crazy. You didn't know what was, and that's why he said that right there. And they did have sad, lonely lives. I think some of them did. I wasn't privy to a lot of their personal stuff.
No,
but,
that's the main reason. Never become a teacher. It's a guarantee of a sad, lonely life.
Bizarre.
Okay.
And another dissolve.
Yeah, it's a great dissolve. Great dissolve. Now, you guys mentioned that you're talking about going to high school together. How long have you known each other?
For
24 years.
24 years. So we're 29 now.
Yeah. And so how old were you when you first, you met at where?
14.
14.
14. And when did you actually start writing together?
When we were like 15.
You're like 15.
Yeah.
I think it was geometry class, and Bill did really funny drawings of people in the class, and I thought it was cool, and I think that started it.
All right. Okay. Some of those drawings will be
this
on this
one
DVD. Look
runs.
For them. They're in a secret ad.
Me too. This is great. Bold. I love this.
Great writing mixed with a great performance by Harry again. Just really nice.
Based on the little observed fact that most detergents have one-syllable names.
But there's hundreds of them. We had to cut a lot of them out of that list. That's the kind of joke that we were just talking about this one, that you could never see on a regular show because people wouldn't sit still for it. They wouldn't know on a regular live-action sitcom, they wouldn't know what was funny about it. Maybe some of you still don't know what's funny about it. But that there's no actual laugh. It's just more of a carefully observed.
So I love the staging of that with just the two of them face-to-face and then the proscenium sort of...
Yeah, Bob, this is an awesome show. This is just
it really is. And yeah, here's a great angle you. For Bob right here. Look at this.
Yeah.
Right there.
In fact, we wrote Bob a letter complimenting him on his direction.
I remember that letter. That was when people wrote letters instead of email.
I just said to Bob, great job. That's all I did. I wasn't going to spend time writing a damn letter. I don't have that kind of time.
Well, I'm saying now, great job. 10 years later.
No, I can't.
You wait long enough, Bob. Everyone will say congratulations. No, the great thing is we can have those scenes like you were talking about that are very slow, and then we'll do something that's so much faster than any live action show. You know, again, the flexibility of this medium and this particular version of animation is just so fantastic to write, so fantastic to produce, because it's just infinite freedom. It really is. It really is. With working with all these wonderful people and terrific people, it's really a great blessing.
I just want to point out something. That's the nicest Principal Skinner's mom has ever been.
I was thinking the same
thing. Unbelievable.
What number appearance was that of her, though? Because this is pretty...
Yeah, I think it might have been her second or third appearance in the
series. We made her meaner and meaner as time went on.
She first appeared in the very first season. Yeah. She was in the French show.
Right, she called him Stinky or whatever.
Banky.
I love this one.
Want me to tell you when it's 7:30? That's a sad living with your mom when you're that age.
Ned Flanders actually eliminated detention and put the whole...
And, you know, again, this is a show that has a lot of action in it, but it also has these really nice conversations, real nice character moments, and it's great to do the mixture. And this, again, was a season where we were very... intent on trying to get deeper into character, to explore the characters a little more, to slow down parts of the show a little bit more, to take the time to do these, and it paid off nicely.
That's great.
We had to wait a long time for that son to be there. That's a nice. I like how good Bart is with his bat, by the way.
Yeah,
that's incredible.
Yeah, very good.
Here, the first appearance of Luigi.
Eh, Simona, you want to use you on the table?
No, Luigi.
I love his design.
Right off the box.
He knows he doesn't look like any other Simpsons character. We've said that before.
Yeah, I've noticed that, yes.
And then he always says something horrible about the people, that, but it never lowers his voice. He never figures it out.
It's a real ugly kid.
Oh, well. Martin's obviously been put in a cage to punish him, but also sort of for his own protection. Now, this piece of animation, Bob, is a little bit disturbing. Right there, that always freaked me out in a lovely way. So,
and why is it ketchup?
I think I was just following the script. He said he rubs it in his belly.
Yeah, he did, but he did. You made him enjoy it a lot more than I think the intention.
The loving motions of his fingers are too much.
His whole body is undulating. You know?
Sir, I begged you these raisin roundies.
Principal Skinner, I got cursed.
And just the space is so great there. It amazes me, you know, and this is...
That was a good teardrop,
that
by
was
the
nice.
Way.
Wow. That was nice.
One of the few in the history of the show.
It's going to be on the front of the DVD box. Good teardrop inside.
It can be done.
No, it's really hard.
Look at Skinner's handwriting,
everybody.
It's
really hard to pull off. Yeah. With those giant, grotesque eyeballs, you know?
Bob Anderson has always been known as a teardrop man. He's still known out of the business.
Real tearjerker.
He's the go-to man for tears.
That letter was carefully designed to have very neat handwriting.
This is just a general question. I don't know whether you animators, Matt, have talked about this, but it's amazing how much emotion the characters' faces have with so few lines. And I know that that's part of your style, was to draw these characters very little lines. And in fact, if Matt sees a character with too many lines, he wants it cleaned up.
Right.
He's always asking to simplify it.
It goes crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, and so it's just fascinating to me that you do hit many people.
No, David, we talked about this at the very beginning of the show. Is that, and David gets it, and so obviously you get it too. Is that you can indicate emotion very easily with such simply drawn characters just by slight changes in the shapes of the eyes.
Yeah, yeah.
Some of the elusive, subtler qualities of the character.
What that guy said was, they don't have them group toilets here no more. I don't think anybody in the whole history of the series got that, but I wanted to make it clear.
However, we did hear from a friend who was in the Army that those lines were widely quoted during the Panama invasion.
I think it was actually the Montgomery Ward thing was popular amongst enlisted guys and officers.
And I love the fact that we get to see Ned's dad.
This is the first appearance of Ned's dad, which actually inspired that whole later episode, Hurricane Nettie, which it goes into his psyche.
Hurricane Nettie, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was Dan doing Ned's dad, and I love the bongos and the music.
That's
there.
Based on that guy. What's his name? Dick?
Dick Shawn?
Beatnik. Dick Shawn, right?
Yes. Oh, right. The Dick Shawn.
Beatnik.
He wasn't a Beatnik, but he would play Beatnik.
In that bad world, I
played him in that bad way. That was very much, Kubrick inspired the shot with Full Metal Jacket.
Yeah.
And this scene, in a way, too, though. Obviously, it's been seen many times. But that particular shot and angle is very Kubrick. The tracking in front and a very effective wide lens. Actually, an 18 and 35 millimeter for you people.
Yeah, I think he used an 18 lens when we shot that.
That's right. He used a wide angle lens in the animation.
Exactly.
Obviously, that's what goes on in animation. They have to draw things as if they are through certain lenses, which I have not being able to even draw a straight line with a ruler. I have no idea how you do that. I really don't.
We don't use rulers.
I think Mountain Dew won the fight against Mellow Yellow, too.
That's my problem. I'll try
it. Well, there it is.
A ruler.
Maybe with one eyebrow.
There we go.
There he is.
The introduction right there. That was the introduction that launched absolutely nothing, did it?
Hopefully that'll be an action figure in maybe Series 46 or 47.
I'm surprised it doesn't exist, because people talk about that. They like that
character. Yeah, one
eyebrow baby? Yeah.
It's not an action figure?
It needs to be. Okay, well, it will be. It will be available now. Check for it.
We can compete with the Gus and Gus.
Why is
this is so well done?
This is great.
This is great. Where we don't actually see the impact, but we see this. I love that.
And we don't see them anymore.
Right.
No. But you know, apparently they ran for cover.
For those of you interested, the Quickie Mart sometimes has gas pumps and sometimes doesn't have gas pumps.
And we know now why. If they don't, what happened?
I do want to come back, Bart, but Doesn't sound like Flanders is going to get fired.
And again, you know, this is just a very, very wonderful performance by Harry Shearer here. Yeah. You know, he has all the emotion in it and yet doesn't lose a lick of comedy. You know, it's all there.
Absolutely. His I think this was also where he invented Oh Mercy.
Yes, which I think we end the show with, mm-hmm. actually. Yeah, yeah.
We'll always have the laundromat.
Yeah.
That's great.
It's really sweet. It's really nice character stuff and very warm-hearted.
What's he doing here?
Well, once he found out we were going to get Ned Flanders fired, he insisted on helping.
That is true.
You know, it's great when Homer becomes a supporting character. He's your greatest asset to have as a supporting character. Wherever he shows up, it's just fantastic. You know, you don't remember how much you miss him when you're doing a good show that he's not in. And then when he shows up, you go, oh, yes, Homer.
What's going on in there?
That was a slightly questionable joke where we implied that he might have made a pass at his commanding officer, but it, later we go back and forth, and he's dating Selma, he's dating Mrs. Krabappel, so maybe he's bisexual.
I think he's bisexual. I think the joke worked in the sense that he definitely had no problem with that and was a little bit enthusiastic.
I say lay back and enjoy it. It's a hell of a toboggan ride.
Cockily-doodly-doo, little buddies. Let's thank the Lord for another beautiful school day.
This is a
big turn.
Lord, that sounded like a prayer. A prayer? A prayer in a public school?
It's very angry.
And I love the how serious the musical sting is.
Facts have no place with an organized religion.
That line is like, just stick it to you guys.
Yeah, we enjoy doing that. Yes. It must be done.
Well, I really enjoyed my time here, Superintendent. May the Lord bless and keep you.
Now, take it outside, God boy.
Take it outside, God boy. Whose line was that?
Not sure. I don't know if it was...
It sounded like Jace.
Freak his job back.
Jace Richdale.
It's fun when you can sometimes tell jokes from specific people.
Yeah.
I guess. Thanks, Bart.
Sure.
No one ever hugs anymore.
This is a very sweet ending here, where you have the kick me and the
beach
me.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Oh, mercy.
That was his signature laugh. Oh, mercy.
That was Bart's greatest prank ever, actually.
Oh, it was. Taping my God, it would never top that.
That's what we were referring to.
Good for 100th episode, I gotta say. Such a great prank.
We had some nice parties around the 100th episode, and we never had any idea that how far the show would go after that. I mean, we figured, well, that might have been about halfway there. No way.
That was your joke, right?
My joke about the 200th episode was we're halfway there to get a huge laugh from everybody because that's such an incredulous idea, and it turns out it might very well turn out to be true.
We're getting awfully close to the 400th episode.
Yeah, we're getting there, and I think it's going to happen.
I know.
Yeah, how close are we now?
Maybe after this season.
Yeah, we're well into the threes. We might be almost 350. I don't know, something like that.
I don't know.
Will it never end?
Let's run it into the ground. Come on, boys.